governor's office not here. Bobby's not here. Bobby's not here, right? Steve is. Yeah. Okay. All right. Council, please return to order. And Carla, would you please call the roll?
Saltzman. Novick.
Here.
Fritz.
Here.
Fish.
Here.
Hales.
Here. Item 902, please.
Authorize acquisition of approximately 25 acres of property located between I-84 and I-205 near Rocky Butte from the Oregon Department of Transportation for the future development of the Gateway Green Project.
Commissioner Fritz.
Thank you, Mayor Hales. What a happy day. I am very pleased to bring this ordinance to Council today, purchasing this large parcel of remnant freeway land from the Oregon Department of Transportation, which brings us one step closer to realizing the Gateway Green Project. It's very important to note that the land is being purchased using system development charges paid by developers, not with general tax dollars, which, of course, Parks does not have very many of for this kind of thing. The project is a community-led effort to create a new city park on 25 acres of disturbed and unused land in an area of the city where parks, recreational opportunities, and open space are greatly needed. And at the same time, establish a regional off-road bicycling destination in East Portland. It will be the premier bicycling destination in the city, and I'm very, very excited about the partnership between bicycling advocates and East Portlanders and the others in the Gateway Green Coalition. Millions of people, though they may not know it, travel past this site every year by foot, bicycle, car, and TriMet. Gateway Green will transform, restore, recycle, and bring nature back to 25 acres of leftover land created as a byproduct of two freeways. It will improve a parcel of land that has high community visibility and important regional trail access and connectivity. This land purchase and the Gateway Green project would not be possible without strong partnerships, including government agencies, nonprofit, volunteers, bicycling groups, the design community, and the general public. The Friends of Gateway Green have raised over $120,000 from over 750 donors in an online Kickstarter campaign. This initiative is truly a grassroots-led community effort and a model for innovative public-private partnerships. Of course, it takes motivated and committed individuals to make this dream a reality. So I start by thanking Ted Gilbert and Linda Robinson, as well as the rest of the board and Friends of Gateway Green. Our partners at the Oregon Department of Transportation have been wonderful. Governor Kitzhaber's office in the Oregon Solutions Project, including Steve Greenwood, who is here with us today, and Bobby Lee, helped get us to yes. And there have been 40 different entities that have supported this effort throughout the years. There will be a slideshow at the end of the presentation that depicts all of these organizations. First, we'll have the park staff, Brett Horner, and present a short presentation on the history and the scope of the project.
Thank you very much, Commissioner Fritz. I'm happy to be here today, and I have a very short presentation on this important parkland acquisition in East Portland for Gateway Green. Gateway Green is located at the crossroads area of East Portland, at the confluence of the I-84 and I-205 freeways, just east of Rocky Butte and north of Halsey Street, within close proximity to the Gateway Transit Center and Gateway District. The site is 25 acres in size and is coming to us from ODOT, a remnant piece of land that will be converted to a regional biking and off-road biking open space destination for recreation, habitat, and water quality enhancements. We are recommending acquisition so that the project can be built and open for greater public use and enjoyment. The project envisioned for the site came from the grassroots, from community members who have been working tirelessly and diligently on their own time, establishing a nonprofit friends group, raising funds, and organizing volunteers towards the cause. The idea for the project dates back to 2005. Design work began in 2008 and spans the involvement of two governors and two very dedicated commissioners, both Commissioner Fritz and Commissioner Fish. What has resulted is this visionary plan a regional serving facility with multiple off-road bike experiences, a children's play area, a new multi-use path, a stormwater retention area, a field station for education purposes, and extensive habitat and landscaping enhancements to renature the site. As Commissioner Fritz mentioned, the partnerships are really important and the key in this project. The Friends of Gateway Green have enlisted support of many organizations and individuals, including government agencies that you see here, nonprofits, businesses, and individual donors. In 2009, it became an Oregon Solutions effort. These supporters have participated in a myriad of ways, but all of them wish to see the project through, and this acquisition is a key milestone in that process. So what is next for Gateway Green? After the acquisition, the next phase consists of fundraising by the Friends of Gateway Green to match the recent $1 million Metro Nature and Neighborhoods grant, and continue with design plans for a buildable project in, we believe, fiscal year 2016-17. We will plan to come back to council when that happens to give you more detailed information on the project. We appreciate your support and in moving forward with this acquisition. I have the founding members of Gateway Green here with me, Linda Robinson and Ted Gilbert, and I want to congratulate them, and they'll be saying a few words a little later. I'd also like to thank our friends at ODOT who are here as well, who will also have a few words to say. Thank you. I'll take any questions that you have at this time.
None for now. Thank you. So is it Ted and Linda that are going to come up next? Come on up, please.
Usually I have him speak first. I'm Linda Robinson, chair of the Friends of Gateway Green, and this is the day that I've waited for a long time, and I'm really excited. I just wanted to start by making a couple of comments. One is that when I started doing volunteer work as part of a career change 20-some years ago, we went through this little exercise to identify what my strengths were. And I remember very clearly it was a flower with a stem and some leaves, and the thing that went down the stem, I had written on there, perseverance. So I identified that a long time ago, but I've learned another thing that goes with that, and I've developed a motto over the years which came in really handy for this project, and that's called patient persistence. You got to have patience as well as the perseverance, persistence. So that has played a big role in helping this happen, and will play a big role in helping us with those next steps that that Brett talked about. So I really want to thank everyone. This has been a long process. First of all, I want to thank Ted. It was his idea. He came up with this idea when we were both working on the Gateway Urban Renewal Project and trying to figure out how we could find something in Gateway that gave it a unique identity. And he came up with the ideas. I had just retired, and I said, I'll help. And that's kind of how this all began. So we're really excited to be here. We spent a lot of time working with our friends at ODOT, with bicycling friends. I even credit this project with motivating me to learn how to ride a bike. So now that all of these have been accomplished, this is a big step forward, and we look forward to working on making this actually happen while I can still ride a bike.
Once you learn, you never forget, right?
Oh, okay.
I'm Ted Gilbert. Over the years, I think I've had the opportunity to speak with each of you probably more than once about Gateway Green and what we believe it will do for Gateway and East Portland. And sitting here today, I mean, it's been a bunch of years, but sitting here today, thinking about the distance we've traveled from the original idea to this big step today, it's pretty amazing. We have a ways to go. The Friends of Gateway Green are committed to get this done and bring this to the community. And we hope that we can count on the continued support and leadership of City Council. But please know that we're absolutely committed to this, and together we're going to get this done. So on behalf
of... We have Jocelyn here, too.
I want to now introduce one of our board, FOG board members, Jocelyn Gowdy is here.
She's the only one.
Please accept our sincerest gratitude. Thank you.
Thank you. Same to you. Others that you have planned to have speak, Commissioner?
Ted, I just want to caution you about using the FOG acronym in certain settings. Some people will think you're talking about the Fats, Oil, and Grease program administered by the Bureau of Environmental Services. So you might have to find something that distinguishes FOG and FOG.
Two G's.
Then there's also fog seal, which is used on streets that are beginning to degrade to extend their lives.
Getting foggier. Okay, let's proceed.
That's something I know something about. Mayor Hales, Commissioner Fritz, members of the council, my name is Ryan Winsheimer. I'm the region manager now at ODOT Region 1. And I just wanted to take this opportunity to express my support for your work here and the city's acquisition of the property between 84 and Interstate I-205. ODOT, Parks, Friends of Gateway Green, the Governor's Office, a number of us have been working on this collaboratively for a number of years now. And where, you know, purchasing property for a project is sometimes just a simple step in the progression of a project. In this case, this is a major step forward. Again, the development of a park is difficult, and trying to develop a park on interstate right-of-way in a section like this, frankly, just wouldn't have worked under ODOT ownership based on the federal rules and things associated with interstate property. And so I'd like to take just a moment and acknowledge a great work of our team from the state of Oregon. I've got Ted Miller, who's our Region 1 Maintenance and Operations Manager, who spent a ton of time on this project. Kelly Brooks, our intergovernmental liaison, who's associated with the Governor's Regional Solutions Team. I'd like to thank Bobby Lee, who, of course, is our Regional Solutions Team leader here, as well as Steve Bryan and Steve Greenwood from Oregon Solutions. And without their help, this would have been a very, very difficult project, and I'm glad we are where we are. I want to say thank you to the city for the work that you and your staff have done, particularly Commissioner Fritz and Commissioner Fish. Without your personal involvement in helping move this along at several stages, I don't know if we would have been able to get all the way through here to the finish line. And just thank you one more time for letting me take the opportunity to express ODOT's appreciation for your work. And we really look forward to seeing this finished product and the vision that it can be. So thank you.
Thank you, Ryan. Thanks very much. Questions for our team? And are there others that are here to speak? And if not, it's an emergency ordinance. Let's take a roll call.
Public testimony.
Oh, sorry, there is public testimony. Yep. Sorry.
We have two people, Terry Parker and Lightning.
Thank you. My name is Terry Parker from Northeast Portland. Yesterday's Portland Tribune had an article about the gap between City of Portland funding and infrastructure needs. According to the citywide systems plan, Portland Parks and Recreation alone needs an additional $84.4 million per year to maintain and expand parks. If a mountain bike course is to be incorporated within Gateway Green, it needs to be financially self-sustainable, managed in the same way Portland public golf courses are managed, with fees charged to the mountain bikers similar to the green fees that are paid by golfers. Swimming pools located in Portland parks, tennis centers, and community centers all have user fees. Likewise, reserving a ball field or a covered picnic area in a Portland park also requires a fee. Since mountain biking is a specialized sport requiring specialized infrastructure, equity and fairness necessitate the sustainable user fees must be charged. Moreover, the intent to charge user fees for the use of the mountain bike course also needs to be included and documented in any land acquisition agreement. To be clear, what I am endorsing here and what is equitable here are user fees for only the mountain bike course, not for the general park usage in Gateway Green. There has been some discussion about using volunteers to build and maintain the mountain bike course. However, that isn't likely to fly or be welcomed by the unions that represent city park employees in that it would take away jobs. If user fees are not charged for use of the mountain bike course, it is only justice that golf course green fees, public swimming pool fees, tennis center fees, and park reservation and permit fees all be eliminated. And finally, just a side note on a related subject. It was very positive to hear about the proposed inclusion of a family-friendly nine-hole pitch and putt golf course and the integration of teaching school-age kids the sport of golf as part of the Colwood course golf course makeover project. Kudos to all of you on that one.
Thanks, Terry.
Thank you for your comments, Terry. First of all, the bicycling community has been very involved in fundraising for this effort, so that's important to note. I note in your testimony that you talk about tennis centers. To me, the mountain bike course is much more like the tennis courts that are not fee-for-service at parks. So your point is well made, as always, and we do want people to pay their fair share. However, this is more like cycling on any other Portland Park that we don't charge additional fees for.
Well, it's going to require special maintenance and a special course that only a certain select number of people will use. I shouldn't say select. I'm talking about, you know, like golfers use golf courses, bikers use, you know, and I just think that it's only fair that some sort of a fee be charged similar to what golf, so that it's sustainable under its own.
Well, again, tennis courts take maintenance too. And in fact, the pump course at Ventura Park, the bicyclists do maintain that.
Okay, Lightning.
Yes, my name is Lightning with Lightning Think Lab. One of the things I've noticed is that we've acquired a few other parks too and actually paid over the appraised value for those parks or land for potential parks. Now, one of the questions I have on this acquisition is, as you know, a lot of times I tend to focus on the overall price, is that 25 acres are being sold for $19,300. Now, that says appraised value. Is there an appraisal done on this property, number one? Or is that just some assessed value many, many years ago? And I just want to have an understanding on that because my understanding, ODOT said this is a surplus property. And was this property offered to any other people possibly at this time and not just the city alone? And again, this price is just jumping out at me. And I know Mr. Gilbert is much more knowledgeable than I am on real estate values in this city, but I'm just kind of questioning this overall price on this. If anyone could answer that, if not, then I understand.
I heard the head nods behind you correctly, I think there was an appraisal.
Let's have Brett. The answer is yes, there was an appraisal. It is a landlocked parcel between two freeways, so it would be a tad difficult for anybody to develop much of anything else on it.
25 acres for under $20,000?
Correct.
That's a great price. Thank you.
Essentially not developable for pretty much anything else.
Except for a park. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you both. Okay, anyone else?
Yes, we had a request for one more person.
Come on up.
Put that on the ledger of, you know, things we've paid a little too much for because we need the property, and mm-hmm. this one,
yeah.
You're right, Lightning, it is a very good deal.
Welcome.
Hi, thank you. My name is Jocelyn Gowdy, and I'm a relatively newcomer to the Friends of Gateway Green project. I was elected to the board this month, so very excited to be part of this project. I was a funder to the crowdsourcing campaign last year, though. Very excited to see it come to fruition, at least to this point, and hopeful that it'll continue to go forward. I moved to Portland 6 years ago, primarily to have the opportunity to integrate cycling more into my life. And in the 6 years that I've lived here, 5 of those years I've been able to find employment in the cycling industry, which is awesome, kind of a dream for me. And you know, on the weekends, my primary escape from the city activity is mountain biking. And since I moved to Portland, I've had to purchase a car to be able to do that the way that I like to. And to have the opportunity to ride my mountain bike from my house and get in the exercise and go with my friends that haven't had the opportunity to ever try mountain biking before because it's not as easily accessible to them. There are some hurdles, both with the equipment and with the distance to access mountain bike trails. This is just going to be such a cool thing to be able to take them out to and show them around. And not just people of my same age group, but also younger, you know, my friends that have children, to be able to take them out there as well. So thanks for your consideration on this matter, and thanks for letting me have a few words.
Can I ask you one question?
Please do.
If you wanted to get from Gateway Green downtown, what's the route you would take?
What's the safest route that you ride from that area to the river?
Okay. That's a great question. I think it's, you know, you need to consider what type of cyclist I am and what other type of cyclist might be accessing. As a fairly confident cyclist, I would probably take the 205 path over to Mount Tabor. I live in the southeast neighborhood, and go up and over Tabor and then down into the neighborhoods around there. You know, ideally, I don't think there is a perfect connector from downtown all the way out to Greyway Green. I'd love to see that happen in the future.
So that was the softball. That was the softball.
Oh, really?
Thank you. I guess we tried to camouflage that, but it is our hope someday that we're able to connect Gateway Green to Sullivan's Gulch.
Absolutely. So we'd love that.
Come down, and that is a long-term vision. PBOT, Parks, and others have done initial planning around it. Obviously, it's complicated with the railroad, but what a wonderful connecting piece to this legacy if you could seamlessly come downtown from Gateway Green.
It would be ideal, but a note on that, to have easy exit and entry points so that we could access the local businesses along that thoroughfare so that we could pick up groceries on our way to or from. You know, I tend to get hungry if I've been mountain biking for a number of hours, so to be able to stop by and get a burger and a beer on my way home would be very advantageous. So
I got hungry and exhausted just listening to you talk about going over the top of Mount Tabor. And,
Well, it's wonderful. I love riding my bike in Portland. Like I said, it's the reason why I moved here. So hoping to be able to ride more of the different types of bikes I have more frequently in the city.
Well, thank you for becoming a true Portlander by volunteering on the board as well as enjoying the amenities.
Yep. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Great. Okay. Anyone else like to speak on this item? Then let's take a roll call, please.
Novick.
Congratulations to Ted and Linda and ODOT and Commissioners Fish and Fritz and everybody who's been involved and is continuing to be involved in this. And congratulations on what you've done so far, and good luck on whatever you'll be able to accomplish in the future. Aye.
Fritz.
Commissioner Novick, I'm impressed that you didn't ask about the operations and maintenance, which was included in the budget for the coming year. So that's good. One of the things I most appreciate about this particular project is that it's going to be designed for biking. We have a lot of challenges in our natural areas in Forest Park and elsewhere with mountain bikers creating their own trails and cycling where it's frankly not a good place for them to interact with hikers and other users of the forest, including the wildlife. So this property is going to be custom built and could eventually be a jewel in the crown of connecting sites all up and down the East Portland to Powell Butte. So that's great to be providing something which is a one in the city in East Portland, which, as Linda said, has not had its fair share of amenities. So thank you to Linda Robinson and Ted Gilbert for your vision on this, and for the Friends of Gateway Green for all of your work. I'm just going to read the 21 signatories to the Declaration of Cooperation in 2010, because it's significant what a diverse group it is, and also that's how you get things like this done, is with patient persistence and with developing partnerships. So that Declaration of Cooperation included the City of Portland, the City of Maywood Park, which is great. We often miss out the City of Maywood Park, except for Senator Denborough, who is very good at always mentioning that he represents Maywood Park. The Oregon Department of Transportation, Oregon Parks and Recreation Department, who, by the way, we will be applying for grants to help build this out. Oregon Solutions, the Friends of Gateway Green, TriMet, Northwest Trail Alliance, David Evans and Associate, East Multnomah Soil and Water Conservation District, the East Portland Action Plan, the King Cycle Group, Oregon Sports Authority, Gateway Regional Center Program Advisory Committee, Aloft Portland Airport at Cascade Station, East Minster Presbyterian Church, the Community Cycling Center, the Audubon Society of Portland, Gateway Green Area Neighborhood Associations, Portland Sustainability Institute, and Alta Planning and Design. So all of those folks deserve a lot of credit for working together, as do you for coordinating them. Most importantly, Commissioner Fish, who recognized the needs in East Portland right from the start of when he got into office. Together, he and I, over the last 5 years, have dedicated more than $22 million of system development charges in East Portland. And we need to continue to do that because they're lacking in the parks that others have. We need other funds to maintain what we have, and we need to keep working on that. But when we have new funding that can only be used for expanding capacity, East Portland, as long as I'm Parks Commissioner, is going to continue to get the lion's share of that. Today is a great milestone in this important community project, a time for celebration for a job well done. Thanks to Mike Abate and your team in the Portland Parks and Recreation, Patty Howard and Tim Crail in my office. Aye.
Fish?
Congratulations, Commissioner Fritz, and your team at Parks. I wanted to add three other people and make sure they get recognition. Jay Graves and Rex Burkholder, who co-chaired the Oregon Solutions process and really skillfully guided that to the Declaration of Cooperation. And one of the most important, as I've learned from my friends at Oregon Solutions, that one of the most important decisions you make is who is the convener and the chair. So we thank them for their service. And Commissioner Fritz alluded to the O&M, and thanks to Mayor Adams for believing in this project and putting the O&M into the five-year forecast. That was a real vote of confidence. We could spend all afternoon saying nice things about Ted and Linda, but suffice it to say, every one of these projects has a community person or persons who have relentless patience and persistence. I'll throw relentless in. Relentless patience and persistence. And all the great things that we have the honor of being a part of take time and have to overcome enormous obstacles, which makes days like this very sweet. So congratulations to everyone who helped make this day possible. Aye.
Hales.
Well, I'll stick with the alliteration theme, Ted and Linda. Thanks for the patient, persistent persuasion, because you have been persuasive about this, as have your fellow board members and community members who worked on this. And it has been a while in coming, but I don't want to minimize the long effort, but actually it's normal, unfortunately, it's normal to take a long time to go from dream to reality. There was a 40-year gap between when the Olmsted brothers recommended Forest Park and when the first acreage was acquired by the city of Portland. So fortunately, you didn't have to beat that record. Barbara Walker started talking about the 40-mile loop, I think, in the 1970s, and she still is. So, you know, we've been at this for a while in these long park acquisition and development scenarios. So by historical standards, this one's moving fast. It doesn't feel that way. It's still been a long effort, and there's still ways to go. So great work, but I bring that up in part because people do need some patience when you talk about these kinds of long acquisition efforts. And this is a great milestone. We really are at a point now where we can execute on the plan, where the combination of fundraising and private philanthropy and city resources can make this a great recreational resource. You know, I've been dealing a lot with at-risk young men lately. We have this Black Male Achievement Initiative underway at the city. There's a lot of concern in the community about gang activity, and there's a lot of gang activity to worry about. And, you know, the more things that we can do to get, it's not an original idea, Charles Jordan preached this every time I worked with him, get our young people outside exercising large muscles. You know, it's good for everybody, starting with them. And this is one more way to do that, not just for adults, as you mentioned, not just for adults that are bikers, but for our kids. So I've always thought our park system should have big shoulders and accommodate every kind of recreational choice, whether it's bocce ball or flying model airplanes or playing basketball or swimming. And this is just one more iteration of that diversity of choices that our park system has and should have. So it's a great piece of work. And then, Ryan, congratulations on your new role as the leader of Region 1. This is a great start, not only in the milestone that you and this team have accomplished, but in this cooperation between ODOT, Region 1, and the city, which obtains on lots of things, but is particularly sweet when it leads to this kind of result. So thank you for a great start as our partner at ODOT. I'm very pleased to support this and looking forward to another bike ride with you, Linda, sometime soon. Aye. Well done. Okay, let's take